Well, if you got your Bibles with me, hope you're enjoying the weather. It's been a great, great time to celebrate. I guess it's early summer, it seemed like. But we're certainly enjoying it. It's nice to have your house cool when it's really hot outside. And some of us, you know, just times I remember we couldn't sleep because of the heat. Some of us here up north don't have to have to endure all the heat that they have in the south. And so we thank God that we're in peace. We're walking in the peace of God in these last days. And I thank the Lord for the loving kindness and tender mercies are His and ours. And they are in the church. We are people of tenderness and love. And thank God that we can express the love of God to the world. And Jesus said, "It's by the fruit of God, you shall know them." And we certainly know ourselves or one another by the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to talk tonight again about spiritual warfare. And the Bible says in the last days there'll be deception, and people come around with different teachings. And one of the things about it, you need to be staying in the Word of God. And so I want you to remember to stay in the Word of God. So let's go to different scriptures. I believe we used last week 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Let's go ahead and go to that scripture again. We're going to use that as a text, and we use other scriptures as well as we go along. Spiritual attacks. We want to talk about symptoms of spiritual attack. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural or human, but mighty through God. In other words, God gives us weapons, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We talk about an attack in the mind. People have maybe imagined different things. The devil puts there through something, some way. It gets them riled up. There's a war going on, and there's a spiritual war going on. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, the first part of that, 1 Timothy 6:12 says that fight the good fight of faith. So we're in a spiritual battle. We're fighting. It's not about something small, but it's something about your life and something about eternity. And so we as believers are all subject to spiritual attacks. And even if you're not in the front lines of ministry, you're still subject to attacks from the enemy. All you need to do to have this attack is to be born again, be part of the family of God, be part of the body of Christ, and you'll get attacked if you hang around long enough. The Bible is clear that Satan's modo operandi is to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, He said, "The thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. But He said, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." So we must be aware, we must be ready, and we must stand guard against the attack of the enemy. So let us go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite You to this session because You are the one that's the teacher. And so we yield our hearts to You. We give You this time and this particular moment that all that happens tonight, that by the Spirit of God, by Your leading and guiding, that we will understand more about spiritual attack and how to avoid certain situations and help us to get out of the attack. We give You praise for all that You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We need to, first of all, we need to recognize, that there can be an attack, that there is something called spiritual attack. And so, over in James chapter 1, verse 2, the New Living Translation says, New Living Bible Translation, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity of great joy." Well, He's not telling us to celebrate that we got troubles, but what we're going to do is celebrate the fact that we can consider it an opportunity to see that God's word works in our lives again. That's faith talk. And if you are not any person of faith, we all don't want to have any kind of trouble, but we can consider it joyful because we know that the Lord is going to get us through the situation. You read the rest of those verses of Scripture, you find that the Lord will give you that kind of faith that you can endure right on through to the other end. There'll be attacks coming your way, and don't be surprised when it hits your life. So it's not if an attack will come, but the Bible says when they come. So, you know, as we mentioned, that Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We must be ready to use the armor of God. We must use the word of God. We must use our faith against the attack of the enemy, because he'll come and he'll do his best to take you out. So James 1:2 says, consider it joy when you come to any kind of attack. I like the King James Version. He says in there that, let's go ahead and read it in the King James Version, James chapter 1, in the King James Version. If you got your Bible tonight, I brought my, you know, this Bible here is almost like a new Bible, but I've been writing it lately, putting more new notes in there. And I like the King James Version. It says, James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, can count it all joy when, so that we said when you fall into divers temptations. The word temptations is trials and troubles, tests, in other words. And knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience, verse 4 says, that have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So, you know, we're all going to have these trials. My wife told me that, you know, she had a word of the Lord, spoke to her tonight, and I believe it's Psalm 34:19. He says, many are the afflictions, difficulties, trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. You know, so we thank God that there's going to be all kinds of troubles, all kinds of trials, but the Lord will deliver you out of all of them, or every one of them. So you need to, by faith, consider, if you're in the trouble right now with the enemy, you're going to have to say, thank God he delivers me out of all my troubles. You need to say that right now. Say, he's delivered me from all my trouble. Say it one more time. Say, he delivers me from all my troubles. Begin to say that to yourself during the nighttime, whatever, and look at your trouble and say, this will not last forever. Thank God for that. So not only what Jesus said, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, destroy, but he's come to give us life. But he says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12, the New Living Translation says, put on the armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the enemy or the strategies of the devil. And verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So these are the spirits that we're dealing with. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Jesus defeated those enemies. But we're dealing with them with this in mind, that Jesus already defeated them. These spirits are defeated. When Jesus went down and he took the keys of hell and death and had victory over the enemy, he rose up. And Matthew 28 says he gave the authority to the church. He said, behold, I give you authority. Matthew 28:18, I give you authority, I give you power to tread upon, you know, the enemy, to have power over all the enemy. And Ephesians, if you go into the epistles, You notice that God has already defeated the enemy. If you look in the epistles, you'll find out that God has already defeated them. And what we have to do as Christians, we have to stand our ground, get into the Word of God, and recognize that we can take this dude. Hallelujah. We can defeat him. I like what 1 John 4:4 says, that he that is in us, that's the Holy Spirit, he that's in us is greater than he that is in the world. That's the devil and all his helpers, that we have authority over all the power of enemy. And so, let's go ahead and read some more here. He says that, let's go ahead and read again verse 11, Ephesians 6. Put on all God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. All of God's armor represents who we are and what our capabilities in Christ are. Like the armor of God represents the knowledge of who we are, what we have in Christ. We're saved. You know, we're righteous in Christ. You know, we have faith. We have the sword and spirit. You know, we have the shoes of preparation of the gospel to be obedient to God anytime, to obey the word anytime. Whatever God tells you to do, you can do, because he's not going to tell you something you can't do. God is not like that. He'll give you the power to do whatever. So you have to understand that, with that knowledge. So, and we'll stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. See, the enemy has strategies, and that's the attack that he's gonna bring to you. He's going to try to deceive you and lie to you, and he's the chiefest of all liars. John 8:44, it says that Jesus said about the devil and all his friends, all his family. He told the religious people that your father is the devil, and he's the father of lies. So he's a liar. And he'll try to deceive you, and he'll try to intimidate you. And so we have to see that in the scriptures. So that's the strategy. We're going to find out about strategies. We're going to find out about the symptoms of attack. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. So when somebody is coming against you, some human being, maybe attacking you online or trying to do something against you, you have to understand that behind that person's work against you, behind that person's anger, behind that person's word, there's an evil spirit on there. Don't fight the person. You deal with the spirit that's harassing you behind that person. You say, in the name of Jesus, under your breath, maybe, perhaps, or when you get away somewhere, I take authority of that harassing spirit that's working against through that person against me in the name of Jesus. So I bind him from operating against me in Jesus' name. So you have to take authority over that, or else you're going to have the flesh and blood fight with persons. You're going to fight against people. Sometimes it's just dearly beloved Christians fighting you. They don't realize they're under the influence of the enemy. And so if they're given to a certain kind of anger, certain kind of thing, they'll come against that you. And so you have to recognize there's an attack there. And so he says in here, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and evil spirits in heavenly places. So these spirits will try to inhabit people, or to try to work through people to influence them, to bring evil in this world, and evil against you. So you have to understand that. So remember, it's not a natural enemy we're fighting. These are natural human enemies we're dealing with, but they're rebel spirits, evil spirits, demons, that will try to cause havoc in your life, bringing every kind of disturbance. And these things, if we're not careful, can bring us to an imbalance in life. And we need to stand our ground with the spiritual armor so that we can win the battle every time. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 6:16, the New Living Translation said, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop all the fiery arrows of the devil. Well, it's not a literal arrow hitting you in the arm. There's not a literal person there shooting arrows on the street or on top of your house or in your bathroom or wherever it is trying to shoot you with a bone arrow. But there are spiritual forces that are shooting thoughts in you. They're getting to your mind. They're getting to you, coming to your emotions. In the emotional realm, the Bible says that the enemy has access to people, has access to their minds, and begins to speak to them evil things. So we're not careful. We're going to give in to thoughts and feelings that are from the enemy, and they're not even you. So you need to recognize you're under an attack. So don't ignore any spiritual attacks that's happening. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in 2:11, the King James Version says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. And yes, there are some people who are ignorant. They're ignorant. They don't understand. They've never been taught that they're under a spiritual attack. They just think, oh, I'm just feeling awful. I'm feeling ugly. I'd like to kill somebody. I'd like to go for a drink. I'd like to just beat someone up. Or I'd like to just rip into that person. I like to say evil things. And so I remember Kenneth Copeland one time. He said one time, you know, he had a trouble with cussing and swearing. I guess that's just a racking up a whole bunch of evil words. And so he just gave in to that spirit. He swore and cursed and all that. He was given to that one time. And the Lord showed him later on that he had to not give in to that kind of spirit. And many of us, including myself, I used to have a foul mouth and used to swear every second word. It's hard to believe now that I used to swear and begin to say things out of my mouth. But today I've cleaned up. Well, a little bit. I've cleaned up and I don't say bad things anymore. I don't say bad words, you know. So thank God for that. We shouldn't be unaware of Satan's attack in our lives. We can't run and hide from him or from his attacks. We are to face him in full force with the word of God in our mouth. There's no retreating, but moving forward with victory in the things of God. So 2 Corinthians 2:11 again, the new century version says, I did this so that Satan would not win anything from us, because we know very well what Satan's plans are. He has plans to destroy you, and he'll put in you doctrine, things that are not scriptural. They're imbalances, and he'll begin to show you different things that are not Bible. They're seemingly like Bible, but you have to know the Word of God and get into the Word of God for yourself. Study the Word of God. Don't just take everything everybody says. Check the Bible. Check what I say. Check what I'm preaching to you. Check it in the different versions and understand what I'm saying. Don't just take anybody's word for it. Know the Bible yourself. Thank God for that. Amen. So, 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9, I'm building a foundation here about what I'm saying. He says, stay alert, the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 5, 8, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. And be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, we don't like that word, suffer a little while. Everybody, you know, you're a faith person, you don't like to suffer anything. So you have to suffer sometimes to wait for supper. You put off your appetite till after you have, you know. So you suffer a little while, praise God, amen. So he says that you suffer a little while, and he will restore and support and strengthen you and place in you a firm foundation. All power and glory, all power to him forever. So there are symptoms of attack, just as there are symptoms of physical attack. You know, if you get sick in your body, there's symptoms of attack. They tell us about the COVID-19. There's a virus, an evil virus, that went kill a lot of people all over the world. And there's symptoms of that. They said, you know, different things. You know, you got weakness. You feel really weak. And you got a sore chest. And you got really bad fever. And you're coughing. And then your nails start to grow. Your eyes turn red, you want to bite people, run after cars. No, not those things. But anyway, there are symptoms. The devil will tell you, you know, you might have those symptoms, and maybe you don't have them, but he'll lie to you. But there are symptoms of physical problems in the body. Say, for instance, if somebody has a heart attack, he's got a bad heart, he's got shortness of breath, he starts to sweat, he's got a sore chest, he can't breathe. You know, this guy has a symptom of heart disease. Or somebody who has angina, he's got a blockage in his arteries, and he's shoveling snow or lifting something, and all of a sudden, he's got a sore chest. My father-in-law, you know, he had a heart attack when he was hunting out in the bush, and he thought he had a bad cold, and he had a really bad chest for a number of days. And he's at home, he's just really sore chest, he's smoking cigarettes. And finally he went to the doctor. The doctor says, "You had a heart attack working in the bush, lifting that animal," and so on and so forth. And so he, after a while, he threw away his cigarettes and didn't smoke and recovered from that heart attack. So he had symptoms of heart attack. So he lived 20 years. We prayed for him. My wife and I, we began to pray, believe God, and he lived for another 20 years, but something else came to him. It was called cancer. And he was in his 70s, and he had what they call prostate cancer. I'm not sure if he recognized the symptoms. And he suffered for that for a few years, maybe 4 years. He was going through some kind of a, you know, doctors watching him, and then they begin to touch it, and it spread everywhere. So maybe if they wouldn't have touched it, they would have stayed. They say, you know, sometimes you don't touch these things. But thank God that he's in heaven today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So anyway, there are also not only physical symptoms of sickness, but there are also symptoms of spiritual attack. When you go to the doctor, he'll ask you different questions, and you have to answer certain things. And, I'm, you know, a pastor. I know different things, you know. When I was a trained social worker, we learned about certain things. They could walk in a room and sit with somebody for 5 minutes, understand about his problem, what's wrong with him. I can sit with somebody for a certain time because I have a certain clinical background. You know, I have a master's degree in social work. I can sit down with somebody for a while and listen to him and understand what his problem is and how he can solve his problem. But you can't always help somebody ready because they're not ready. And so, as a pastor, I have a certain equipment. I can tell if somebody's under spiritual attack. I can tell when I'm under attack. Sometimes I'm not aware of it either, but sometimes my wife has to tell me something or somebody has to show me and help me out. And so, here's some things. You know, some have ignored spiritual symptoms they're experiencing. And later on, they experience even more things because they become insensitive to God. They start running and didn't even pay attention to the symptoms and start to ignore it. So, first of all, don't ignore any spiritual attacks and know that they are there. If you feel discouraged, if you start avoiding people, and you're starting to run away from things, you're feeling you're defeated every day, you got a failure mentality, you got a heavy heart, and you feel depressed and oppressed, you feel like quitting. Those are all symptoms of attack in your life, that you're under some kind of strain from the enemy. And so sometimes you might not even, you think, why am I feeling this way? I'm feeling so good. Usually there's nothing going on. I got money in my pocket. My wife's at home. All the kids are tucked in bed. I got food in the fridge. My cars are running good. My house is good. And my ministry is fine. I'm healthy. Why am I feeling this way? And so the psalmist said the same thing. You know, why am I cast down? Why do I feel bad about what's going on? Well, he's under spiritual attack. And so sometimes you're under spiritual attack. You're all irritated and mad at everybody and so on. Take it easy. And so you're on a spiritual attack. So you have to understand the attack of the enemy, the goal of his attack is to turn you away, put so much pressure on you that you'll give up. And he wants you to stop walking in the plan of God. He wants you to get out of the plan of God. He wants you to get out of the purpose of God. He wants you to walk away from the call. He put enough pressure on you through people, through circumstances, so that you'll run away and just be a normal guy on the street, not even helpful to anybody. And that's the enemy. He wants to do that. He wants to attack you. It's incredible. You know, Joshua, you think about Joshua chapter 1. God began to speak to Joshua and began to tell him different things. It says, after the death of Moses, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, I'm reading the King James, the son of the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now therefore, arise and go over to Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I will give them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given them, even as I said unto Moses, from this wilderness unto Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, that's the west, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be thou strong and be good courage. You know, you can tell when someone is feeling weak spiritually, weak physically, and they're getting fearful and not stepping out in faith. You know they're on a spiritual attack, or they're under a spiritual attack. He says, "Be thou strong and very courageous." See, God wants us to be strong and courageous. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. You see, the weakness and the fear stopped this man, or stopped people from doing the work, the word of the Lord. He says, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. So some people try to avoid, have a tendency when they're being attacked, they try to avoid doing what God told them to do. That's disobedience, and get into trouble. And so he says, they hear, turn not to it from the right hand or to the left. That means you're not on the right path. You're doing your own thing. Which Moses, or that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, that's the Bible, you know, James calls this the book of the law as well. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, keep saying it. Keep confessing the word. Keep the word in your mouth. Keep speaking the word. Talk to the word. Talk about what the word, what God's word says about your problem. No matter how difficult the problem is, speak the word of God over your life. That's what I learned from Brother Hagin and from all those men of God that I know that have victory, that are still here today. Some of them are working strongly in the things of God. They say, no matter what is wrong in your life, speak the word of faith over your life. Thank God for faith people. So, you may observe according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You know, when you're not prospering, you're not succeeding, you're not having success, then you're being attacked by the enemy. And so it says here, have not I commanded thee, be strong. That's a commandment, be strong. He didn't say try to be strong. He didn't say pray about being strong. You can't pray about being strong. You have to be that. Be strong. You'll see that over in the New Testament. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, be strong. He didn't say try to be strong. He didn't say emotionally, but he said be strong in the Lord. And so you have to be strong in the Lord. And he says, be of good courage. That doesn't mean having courage doesn't mean you don't have fear. It means you're going to do something scared. You can do something even when it's if you're afraid, you still do it. You still act on the word. And the devil says, no, you don't have it. You're not getting it. This is the last time. You got away last time. And you got healed, but this time you're not going to get healed. I think about Brother Higgins, you know. He said he got a heart ailment. He was paralyzed in a sick bed. And he said he was preaching the gospel and obeying God, traveling around in the ministry. And one night in his bed in the pastor's home, he said all the symptoms of the heart came back to him. I mean, this is because, you know, you're serving God. Doesn't mean you're never going to get attacked. It's because you come to Faith City Church. Just because you come to any church, just because you go to anywhere, just because you're a minister, doesn't never mean that you're not going to get attacked. And so here he was, he said he got attacked, he had a heart attack, and all the symptoms of heart attack was there. And he said, the devil said to him, this time, you're not going to get healed. And you're not going to get, last time you got away from it, but this time, you're not going to get it. And so he said, begin to laugh. He made himself laugh. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Count it all joy. It means you're going to make yourself laugh. Ha, 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 ha. It seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Well, the Bible, you know, even scientists say if you smile, you know, the Bible says that something releases in your body when you smile. And walk around like this. Like the Joker. That's why he did it. And, it releases, endorphins in your body. That's what happens. Something's connected to your smile and to your brain. Something in your face changes and changes chemistry. I'm not sure. That's what they say. But the Bible does say it. I believe it. He said, count it all joy. Well, you can't look sad and count it joy. You got to smile a little bit. You got to act like it. And so the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, when you're going through a trial. You need to learn how to praise God. And don't give in to depression and oppression. Break free out of it. Break free out of the depression in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Whoever you are right there, you needed to hear that tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Begin to praise Him and thank Him. That's right. Go ahead and receive that anointing. Glory to God. It's right there. Just go ahead and do a little dance. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. And for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. So God is with you right now. He's there with you. And no matter what the attack is, you're going to get to the promised land. You're going to get what's coming to you. That's what we say around here. Yeah, you're going to get all that's coming to you. And we try to joke about it, but you're going to get everything's coming to you, good or bad. The Bible says that whatsoever man sows, that's what he's going to reap. You need to, if you don't want to sow bad things, just repent right away. Say, Lord, cancel that. Cancel what I said. I don't want to say anything bad about a minister, about a man of God, a church, or my brother, about my wife. Cancel that. Cancel that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then you'll be free. So this charge, apparently, to Joshua was clearly given to him as to what he should do for his life. And a lot of us have been given clear instructions. You know, you can't just sit here in at home right now thinking that, I don't know what to do. The Lord never gave me no direction. No, He's given you direction. He said to come to Faith City Church, go work in the church, help out, bring your finances, pray, believe God, pat the pastors on the back, encourage them, bring them some cookies every once in a while, whatever you have to just do, be an encouragement. Send a nice little email, send a nice little message and say, thank God for your brothers and sisters, and give them a nice message. Thank God. Send a check too. Amen. That's what I've done. Whenever I feel bad, praise God, we'll have to write another check tonight. Thank God. So his purpose was laid out for him. And so the enemy, he wanted to attack Joshua and all the gang there, and to get him out of the plan of God. That's what he wants to do, is get you out of the plan of God. So Moses and Joshua were not perfect people, but they were chosen people. Moses wasn't perfect. Joshua wasn't perfect. And you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but God called us and gave us a call. Not because we're perfect, but because He had a plan for us. We're not in the ministry because we had a grade 12 or we went to Rhema or Bible school. God called us a long time. God called me before I went to Bible school. I had a calling on my life before. It's just that Bible school helps you, equip you, and help you in the things of God. And so be careful what you say about anybody, because a little birdie might hear you in the name of Jesus. Okay? This guy had a call. He had a purpose. It's nice to have a call and a purpose, but it's another thing to fulfill it, because the devil's going to come and he's going to attack you and try to push you away from the call of God. And so it's nice to know what you're supposed to do, another thing to execute what you're supposed to do, because the enemy is going to be right there with lack and with all kinds of discouragement, and give all the people there that's going to tell you it can't work. And so Joshua, had a real command. He had to be fearless. He was not supposed to be afraid of the people or the work that God had given him, even if it was a big task. Joshua didn't look at the excuses in the desert, but he forged his way, leading the people of God. And no matter what the opposition was, he went ahead and did the things of God. Now, verse 8 says this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success." It says here, verse 8, He says, it's you and me. It's up to you and me to make our way prosperous. We have to get to the Word of God. We have to obey the Word of God. We have to be fearless in what we're supposed to do and get the Word of God always before our face. You know, the Lord reminded me this morning in Acts chapter 20, I believe it's 24, right there in 24. It tells us in the scriptures that God told Paul that he should go to Jerusalem and that he was going to encounter all kinds of trials and all kinds of difficulties. And God told him to go, that he should go, and that he should finish his course with joy and his ministry, the life that God had given him. But he said, none of these troubles and trials move me. You see, you have to, and under a spiritual attack, see the Word of God, see the promises of God, and then you can go through attack a lot easier when you see the purpose of God in your life. The Bible says, you know, I like the scripture, Romans 8, it says in there that all things, I believe it's 28, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to their purpose, his purpose. So the thing, all is going to work out. If I love God, serve God, it's all going to work out. Now, it's hard to say that when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a difficulty, your body's under attack, you got heart symptoms, you got blood pressure problems, you got no money in the bank, you can't see any work coming, people have left you, and your kids are all out there, gone crazy. It's hard sometimes to be able to say things, but no matter what it is, no matter what's before you, and I had to say these things in my ministry when there was nothing, I had to say what the Word of God says. I remember Brother Hagin, and when his officers, his elders, would say, you know, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Or when somebody leaves the church and they took all the money with them, or they're the biggest giver, what are we going to do now? No, God's not left us. God has always got somebody there to help us. And I've had people come tell me, Pastor, I'm leaving the church, I'm not going to tithe anymore. Blah blah blah. I said, yeah, you go ahead, praise God. God will always bring somebody. I always see somebody. I always see this. God is faithful. As somebody leaves the church, and God brings somebody right away, replace them, and bring good money, and bring good skills, and bring good attitude. God is not a God of disappointment. Don't ever fear when people leave you. Don't ever fear that you have lack. God always has something better for you, no matter who you are. Don't ever be afraid when you're getting attacked. So these people that was with Joshua, they had the same promise as Joshua, and most of them died in the wilderness because they said no to God. And so when we're under attack, it's no time to say no to God. It's just time to look back to the Word of God and say, what does God's Word say? And I was reminded last night, this morning, the other day, I'm listening to a series on Healing Belongs to Us by Kenneth Hagin. And there's all kinds of stuff in there, not just on healing, but all about life in there. If I listen to healing, it's on finances in there. It's on family situations on there. It's on mental health things on there. It's all in there when I listen to the series. And he always says this, every time I come up against a hard place in life, every time I come against an attack in my life, I'll ask myself one question. What does God's Word have to say about this situation? And if I can find the Word of God on this situation, I'm good. Praise God. So I asked the Lord for word this morning. He gave me a word. He'll speak to you too. He's faithful. So Numbers 14, 27 to 29, the Bible says those people begin to speak evil. That's evil, meaning that they spoke unbelief. And God says, everything you said in unbelief, you're going to get what you say. And so they all died. They said this, I wish we would have died in the wilderness. I wish we'd all died. And they all died. They had what they said. So learn to say the good thing during a bad time. You know, we all have a tendency to want to say something negative when we're experiencing bad times. It's no time to cuss. No time to complain. It's time to speak the word of faith over your situation when bad times come. So be careful. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. So we can't be successful in life when we're living an ungodly lifestyle, a carnal lifestyle. We have to we have to walk close to God and to be successful, and the less attacks that come to your life. So the devil will do everything he can to dissuade you to enter from entering the promises of God or the promised land and enjoy all the blessings of God. So I want to give you some things about the symptoms of spiritual attack. Luke chapter 21:34. I'm reading the Amplified Classical Version. It says, "But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your heart be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of life, of this life, lest that they come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose." The attacks can come on you suddenly. And you might not know it was there all the time, but it feels like it's suddenly, all of a sudden you're attacked. You know, I used to be afraid of that when I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know anything. And sometimes something can take you by surprise, but you catch yourself in a second. And I used to be afraid the devil's going to attack me, and what am I going to do? And how am I going to protect myself? Well, you know, you have to understand the devil is already defeated. Colossians 2:14 says that Jesus spoiled principalities and power. The word spoiled means paralyzed them. He reduced them to nothing. He reduced them to zero as far as you're concerned. So the devil, God paralyzed him. He can't do anything. I remember Brother Hagin giving this illustration. If a guy in a wheelchair, he's paralyzed, quadriplegic, only he can speak, and he's there. He comes over to you. He said, "I'm gonna kill you tonight. I'm gonna beat you to a pulp." And you start getting scared. Well, the guy is paralyzed. He can't get to you. And so it's like that. He gave a word picture like that. The enemy wants to do that. He wants to attack you. And so we need to understand the enemy, as far as God, your concern is, that God already stopped him. He can't do anything to you unless you allow him through his tactics. And so, first of all, the first symptom of a spiritual attack is this, number one, is that you lose spiritual desire to serve God, or you lose the hunger of God. That's a spiritual attack. So the Bible says you don't like to worship God anymore. You don't like to listen to worship music. You don't like reading your Bible. You have no Bible study time. You have no prayer time in your life. You don't pray at all during the day. You don't pray in the spirit. You quit speaking in tongues. You quit worshiping God. You don't fellowship with other people. You like being alone. You don't fellowship with God's people. You like to have a certain type of people. You lose passion for living for Jesus, for God. You're under a severe attack of the enemy. You know, the Bible says in James, or Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So when someone is sick physically, they don't want to eat food. Tonight I had some nice chicken. I had some corn and different kinds of, you know, my wife made some salad. And oh, it was wonderful. We ate our food. We enjoyed it. Thank God we could enjoy a good meal. And some people can't eat a meal tonight because they're sick. They're in a hospital. They can't eat. They want to throw up when they smell food or think about food. They want to throw up. So when someone wants to throw up because food's there, they're sick. So spiritually speaking, when someone doesn't want to go to church, they repel. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to make the effort to go to church. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't have time for the Bible. Well, you understand, they're under severe spiritual attack. They don't want to worship God. They don't want to say, "Oh God, I worship you. Thank you. Oh, I praise you in the name of Jesus." That's under a spiritual attack. You're under spiritual attack. They don't have any prayer time. They don't pray to God for their family or for anybody, for that matter. They're under severe spiritual attack. The second symptom of being under spiritual attack is that you're physically fatigued and spiritually, you know, just reflects. You just have, you're lethargic. You don't feel like yourself. When you're fatigued, you don't feel like yourself normally. You know, when I'm fatigued, I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to go for a walk. I don't want to clean my house. I don't want to do anything physically. I don't want, you know, just sitting there all day long watching cowboy movies. You know, that's a hard thing to do. And I heard that Clint Eastwood, he's one of our favorite cowboy guy for many, many years. He's 90 years old the other day. 90 years old, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, I think there's another guy, he was a cowboy guy. He was acting, you know, his name was Spartacus in another movie. Kirk Douglas, I think he lived to be 102 years old. Man, those guys live long. Hallelujah. We better find out what they ate. And so you feel fatigue. You don't feel like yourself. When you're a Christian, you don't feel like yourself. The Bible says you feel fatigued. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know, it didn't say be strong in yourself, but be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong emotionally. He said be strong in the Lord. You got to be strong in the Lord. That is being strong in the Word. Get into the Word of God and start acting on the Word. Be strong on it. Act on the Word of God. So, you know, Joel 3:10 says, "Let the weak say I'm strong." In other words, if you're feeling that way, you need to get up and say, "Man, I'm strong." Even when you're feeling weak, even when you are weak, when you're sick, you need to say you're strong. Call those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. Call it like it is. Don't call it like it is. Call it like you want it according to the Word of God. Not like how you are. So you have low energy. You don't want to attend church. You know, "Oh, I worked all day long. You know, I don't want to go to church." Lots of people like that in this church. They don't want to come to church Wednesday. I don't need to go to church. You examine their lives closely. Or you examine yourself. As a pastor, I have to examine people and understand what's going on and know my flock. I found out that people who don't want to come to church, they get into big trouble. All of a sudden, it all, you know, the poop hit the fan, and all of a sudden, they got nothing to do. All of a sudden, they're lost. But if you're an alert Christian, you say, "Hey, I'm getting off. Sorry, honey, I'm getting off here. Help me out. Thank you. Forgive me." Move on. And so, if you got low energy, lethargic, you're lazy, physically tired, you're saying, "I'm too tired to go to church, too tired to read the Bible, too tired to praise. Can you praise God for me?" You always find some time, you know. Somebody said, you know, even when you're tired, all of a sudden your favorite activity comes on. You spark up right away. Hey, the Bruins are on. And it's 1:30 at night and you were tired 9 o'clock, ready to die. From being tired, you're on a marathon job. All of a sudden, then you're up watching your game. Well, you know, people have got time for what they want to do. So get out of that listlessness. Number three, if you're under spiritual attack, is that lack shows up in your life. Your resources start drying up. Doors start closing. Lack of money starts happening. If Satan can make you worried about money rather than about worshiping God and giving to God, he can make you and lead you into a lot of bad decisions because he puts pressure on you. Woo-hoo-hoo! Praise God, amen. So, I'm hurt. This is what I heard. I mean, Barna said this. Friends of mine say this, that 1,500 ministers, pastors, leave the ministry every month because they didn't recognize spiritual attacks going on in their life. Because they don't have any resources. They don't have any money for ministry. And so they think, "Oh, the ministry, no, there's no money. Okay, we better quit the ministry. Time to retire." I know people like that in this city. This city here. That say, "Oh, God called me. Oh, the Lord called me. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're faith people." Shamagahaya. And then they're gone. After just a couple of years. You know, they say another statistics. 4.7 years, people stay in one place and then they're gone. Oh, so easy to quit. It's not, don't take any effort to quit. Just give up, throw it all in. So lack in your life means you're under attack. You know how to get out of a spiritual, financial attack? Is give money, give what you have. I've done it many times. I've given them my last $100, given away $1,000 when I didn't really have it, gave it away. I've done that a number of times. And I've never run out of money. My wife can tell you, we don't have bank accounts all filled up right now, but it's coming. I'm telling you. Roma Fisher is going to die in a good old age, full of riches and honor. I claim the scripture. Thank God for it. The word of God is real. Number four. Are you ready for it? It's 7:57. I don't know if are you hanging on. Can we take a little bit more? Can I hear your amen out there? Okay. Some of you can go home if you want. Okay, so number four is a weak prayer life. The Bible says 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. Okay? So, you know, the devil will attack your prayer life because he knows that's your resource bank there that you need to pray. He'll attack you. You don't need to pray. You got this. And so prayer life is important to you. Take a time to pray. Or pray all day. Pray as you go. Find a time to pray. Don't just be like everybody else. Just go ahead and pray. Find a time to pray. So you lose your desire to pray. Jesus told his disciples, couldn't you just pray for 1 hour? Some Christians can't pray. They can't pray for 1 hour in a year. And so those disciples were attacked. And the enemy came in. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 26:36, he said, sit here while I go yonder to pray. And then he came to his disciples in verse 40 there, I believe it is, verse 40. He says, he come to his disciples and find them asleep. And he said, Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And so they were asleep. And so he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Matthew 26:41, you don't enter into these trouble and trying times if you pray. Get into prayer time. Get into that secret place. And number five, you have a feeling of overwhelmed and you feel helpless and you're overwhelmed with circumstances. You know the word circumstance, I heard somebody say this. Circumstance has two words. The first word is circle. The second one is standing against you. Stances. So sometimes God calls you to do something, and sometimes you might even feel overwhelmed because the enemy comes and attacks you. He's surrounding you. But don't you fear. God is going to be there with you. So I have to really relax right here. So number six, old habits, an old lifestyle starts to resurface in your life. Old habits, the old buddies start coming around. The old devils that were with there before, they start showing up again. And I'd like to preach on this, but I'm not going to preach on it. It's a long time. The old devils start coming back. And so you have to watch old habits. The Bible says we can't be friends with the world. And if you're under spiritual attack, when old habits start coming back to you, they're all back in your house again. Somehow they're all back in there. Elton John came back. You know, AC/DC, they're back in your car again. You know, all these country western voices crying out, you know, what they lost. You know, I don't make fun about this, but, you know, I'm just saying that some of these old friends came back to you. You know, so anyway, old habits. Number seven, you put away all your godly influences, all your godly friends. You're hanging out with the wrong crowd, wrong people. They drag you off from the things of God until you're completely void of the things and the influence of God. The devil says, hey, you know, you don't need to do this. Come on with us. And so, you know, the devil will take you away and get you away from the things of God. He wants you to go ahead and play hockey some more. Go play hockey all weekend. Don't have to read your Bible. Do this. Go jogging all day long. Every weekend. Just go run. And all of a sudden, all these activities, that's why the Bible says you have to cast off the sins and the weights that's set before you if you're going to run your race. So, let me tell you what to do. Number one, don't forget who made you. God made you for a purpose. He made you for one thing. That is to glorify Him. Number two, don't forget to take time to pray to get out of this thing. Number three, don't forget the power of praise and use the power of praise in your life. Number four, don't forget to partner with your brothers and sisters in Christ that are here right now. Number five, don't disconnect with your pastor, with your local church, and get off on your own. People are meant to be in church where the anointing of God is to help you. So we thank God for you right now that you'll keep on your toes. Here's Acts chapter 20, 28. Now it's up to you to be on your toes, the Bible says. Both you yourself and your congregation of the sheep. Holy Spirit has put you in charge of all these things, God's people. Be on guard to protect them. And so let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to praise you and thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Whoever is out there tonight that's under spiritual attack, I come in agreement with you right now in the name of Jesus. The power of God is there right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I take my authority as your pastor, as a man of God, as a child of God. We render all evil forces against you to be powerless to harm you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And everything that you're concerned about, God shall perfect that which concerneth you. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Cast every weight and every heaviness on Him. And we break the devil's power and grip over your life by the anointing of God. I break the power of God over your life right now. Devil, you remove your hand from that family. Devil, you remove your hand from that dear one in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave that premise. Leave that woman. Leave that man. Leave that child. Leave that boy and girl. Leave that young woman alone. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Leave that young man alone. In the name of Jesus. And angels of God, encircle and camp around every one of those wayward ones, every one of those children, every one of those houses, every one of those homes, and bring them safely back to the sanctuary of God. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Those of you that have been away from God, to say, God, forgive me. The Bible says if we sin, Lord, you say this in your prayer. Lord, forgive me that I've sinned. You are faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. And if you need a filling of the Holy Spirit, let's pray right now in the name of Jesus for the Holy Ghost power. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Heal those broken hearts. Heal that physical body. Pain command you to go by the authority of the Word of God. Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. By His stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. I believe God answered your prayer tonight. I believe God has answered your word, giving you a word in season. In Jesus' name, write us a short note. Write, my wife's on the line right now. Send your prayer request. Send your praise report. The best way to continually be free from sin, from whatever it is that ails you, you make a confession of faith. You said, I got released from this. The Lord delivered me tonight from depression. The Lord helped me tonight with this. I got a word in season. You send that right now. You send it right now. You go ahead and do it right now. You do it right now in the name of Jesus. Obey the word of God. God says to do it. The Bible says to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. That means it's disobedience, not to allow the prompting of the Holy Spirit to speak to you to begin to obey his word. Hallelujah. We'll see you Sunday. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.